The Dallas Cowboys. Luke Casey, the official bootmaker of the Dallas Cowboys. Blockchain.com. Trusted by millions, trusted by America's team. And by Omni. Omni Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, your hosts, Haley Sutton and Brad Chan.
And welcome, everyone. Merry Christmas. It's the Christmas edition of the Cowboys Hour. How about that? And thank you all very much for being with us. If you are looking for a place to bring the family to look at pretty stuff and get in the holiday mood, you really, if you're within the sound of our voice and it's feasible, come to the Star District in Frisco. It's just great. They've got it set. All the lights are beautiful and the whole plaza is set up. It's a great place. Maybe that's why the entire Zach Martin family is here tonight. But that it's a great, it's a great place. Obviously, you can have, we are at CityWorks tonight, by the way, and we'll be here at CityWorks in the Star District for the rest of the shows. And we're not sure how many there will be because it depends how many games there are.
Isn't that wild, though? I feel like it just, I mean, I feel like when I started in mid-September, mid-season, it was like, gosh, there's so much time left. And now it's like, now oh my gosh, it's week 16.
Now there's no time left. And but we're delighted to have all of you who are here, who have come out from what is not quite the cold yet, but it's chilly. It's getting there. Good excuse for a beverage. We're delighted to have all of you listening wherever you are on the Cowboys Radio Network. And those of you watching whatever day of the week it is, streamed on DallasCowboys.com, that's future Hall of Famer Zach Martin right over there. Big number 70. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Does that make you uncomfortable when I refer to you that way?
We've talked about this.
I know, but not on this program yet tonight.
I don't know. It's a little weird. I mean, but you've kind of, I mean, we had a podcast together in training camp and we talked about it a little bit and yeah, I mean.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean,
guess.
You know, you made 8 Pro Bowls, 9.
That's it?
7.
7?
Yeah.
I get you confused with the guy you played next to yesterday. We'll talk more about that. But I mean, I believe you're a Hall of Famer, but that we'll leave that for, if not another day, a little later in the hour. But the Cowboys have things to do, and we all know that after a day like yesterday, when you're sitting on the plane, fortunately not a super long flight, but 2.5 hours, and you're flying home, I know that at some point, probably in that second half hour of the flight home, you started thinking, well, thank goodness I get to go be on the radio with Brad and Haley tomorrow night because that's what I really want to
do. Yeah, I think I got
doing.
The Joe Trahan reminder text bright and early this morning. So
Yeah. Now, we know it's not easy because you guys are super focused. And then how we're – so thank you for coming.
Yeah,
I
thanks
really
for
appreciate
me.
It. Now, how weird is it then to realize that you – are so disappointed by how the game came out, and oh, by the way, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling because obviously yesterday was really frustrating, and you know, you talk about plane rides home; those losing plane rides home aren't quite as fun as the winning plane ride. So, and then obviously got home and was able to watch a little bit of the Sunday night game and knew the implications for that. So, you know, we're excited to kind of punch our ticket, but also it's frustrating coming off a loss. With that news,
is it more now you're in, so you know you're in, you've been there at least at that stage before, but do you find yourself more concerned about how far you can go when you have a game like that, or do you keep it in perspective?
I think you keep it in perspective, and I think the biggest thing is, like, if you have those tough losses late in the year like that, can you learn from those losses and take them moving forward? Because realistically, we're going to have some road playoff games, and you know, we're going to have tight games down the stretch, and we've got to take away lessons from that game moving forward.
Does it surprise you to learn that the head coach went to sleep before the game ended last night and his wife had to wake him up and tell him, by the way, you're in the playoffs?
No, I mean, again, it's a weird situation there when you come home after a loss and then you know you're like, oh yeah, you're in the playoffs. So you know, it's always that's the, you know, the goal at the beginning of the year is to you know, get there first, get to the dance, and so we're there right now, and now it's time to start you know, locking in and getting ready for this home
from
stretch.
From time immemorial, coaches have preached to players, we got a 24-hour rule.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, and then this game is history. But they didn't give you 24 hours because the game is Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? You had until wheels down.
Yeah, that was kind of what we talked about after the game. You know, we're with all the technology and iPads and stuff now, we get the tape there on the flight home, and we're able to watch it and kind of talk with each other about it. And, you know, he made a point after the game, hey, let's watch it on the flight, and then when we land, we're on to Philadelphia.
Did he say on the flight or on the bus and the flight?
The bus and the flight, yeah.
Because he mentioned that a couple of times today, that he threw that. So, look, when you get on the plane, you're exhausted. You've just played overtime. I mean, you don't have time to start to unwind until you get on the plane, really.
Yeah.
Maybe the bus. Mm-hmm. Depends how long the bus ride is. I can't imagine that the first thing you want to do is go back and watch that game again, especially a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're curious, right, on kind of some of the things that happened during the game. So I think guys are pretty quick. Most guys watch it pretty much right away. They've got someone kind of coming up and down the bus loaded on your iPad. So I like to watch it right away just to see it. And it's nice having everyone there so you can talk through some stuff that happened in the game. And then when I got home, just kind of tried to relax a little bit.
Which fortunately was like the only time all year home early from a road game.
It was different. There was a lot of cars on the road, which usually there's no cars on the road driving home.
You are a big fan of the early out. We've seen some of the clips.
I know.
Especially from
what
the
was the earliest, like 3:18?
Yeah, no, there was like a before 3 o'clock we had a game where I think it was Detroit.
Oh, you're
maybe,
right. It was Detroit. Yeah.
Where we were both running it.
Or
yeah,
something like
yeah.
that.
How did that for people? Go online if you haven't seen any of those videos of Zach exhorting everyone to get out of the locker room because it's 3 o'clock and we can go home. Well, how'd that start?
Well, it started, I think it was 2018. I had all of my high school buddies in town, and it was like the first noon game we had played all year. And I had my high school buddies. We had like a big party bus after the game. So I was riding home with them after the game, and I was really excited to see everyone. And we had won on a last-second field goal, and it happened to be like 3 o'clock, and we hadn't been done, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock is usually the earliest we get done. So I just screamed out the time, and people seem to enjoy it. It's kind of caught on, and, you know, everyone loves a noon victory at home.
Yeah, no question. And then I have to say this. Haley and I talk about this all the time, but thank you for bringing your beautiful family here tonight. Will there be shopping and lights looking at?
We've done it. We've done the light show. That we lit the Christmas tree the first weekend there, and then I think we may stop by and see someone next door on the way out.
Okay. Yeah. So the thing that I love most about players with kids, your kids' age, four and two.
Aww.
So when you got home last night, they just didn't care anything.
No,
about
well, I walked in. My 4-year-old was still awake, and I walked in, and he started kind of whimpering. And was like, "You lost." I was like, "I know, buddy." But no, it puts things in perspective when you get to come home and hang out with those guys.
Yeah, they don't really care.
No,
if
they
you won or lost. They're just happy daddy's home.
We were playing Legos after their.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. The key is to make sure that their mother is always happy that daddy's home. That's the real. That's the tricky part.
Zach, I wanted to ask you because I know you touched on it a little bit, but when it comes to, you know, getting in the mindset of watching the film on the plane, on the bus, whatever it is, on a game like yesterday where the loss was, you know, stunning, it was frustrating, and most losses are, but in that instance, is it more difficult to dive into that and go back and look at it, or is it the same, or is there a difference, I guess?
Yeah, no, there definitely is. I mean, when you have a big win, especially on the road, I mean, guys are, you know, when you're watching the tape, you're laughing, hey, look at this, look at that, look at this play. It's a little more, it's not the same when you lose, right? It's a lot more, hey, we need to do this better, we need to do that. And so the conversations are a little bit different. But nonetheless, I think our guys do a good job of kind of getting in there, taking a look. And I think we have a real honest team, the guys that are honest with each other and understand their responsibilities. And, I think the biggest thing from yesterday is just taking away, to learn something from it and take it forward.
When you're in the position you are now, and I asked Tank this last week, he came on with me at 1st and 10, and I said, you know, you're on that veteran side of things now where it's kind of your responsibility to be the leader in that instance. when you had that shift of going from being new to being a veteran and your leadership kind of is more on display, and games like that, when you're frustrated yourself, how do you keep yourself grounded to be able to continue to lift the rest of the guys up?
Yeah, I think I just try to take the positives from it and, again, learn from the things that went wrong. And, you know, I think the big thing you talk about, you know, the difference between, you know, younger guys and older guys, I think just understanding how the NFL works a little bit. And, you know, my rookie year, we were 12-4. We went to the divisional round, and I was like, man, this is awesome. And then, you know, the next year we're 4-12. So just kind of getting that point across to younger guys and understanding that the team is not going to ever be the same. And you only get so many opportunities. So you have to, you know, especially for young guys thinking, hey, we may, you know, we've got the future looks bright, you know, you got to take advantage of the opportunities when they're there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think of these young guys?
They're great. We really do have a great group of young players, and the rookie class has been outstanding. We've had obviously a ton of key contributors out of that rookie class that have really been a lot to our football team. So they've done a great job.
Do you have a favorite? Friends with any? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said you have a favorite.
Personality. Rookie?
Just personality wise.
Personality wise.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson's okay. Yeah,
how did
Fergie.
I know?
Yeah,
Fergie's.
That was coming. Fergie's he's a good time in there.
Clowns.
So yeah.
Him and Peyton are clowns.
Yeah. And then Peyton. Peyton's an Indiana guy, so I'm gonna throw it out there.
Are you friends with any Major League Baseball players?
No.
I asked because I marvel at how those guys. Now it's different, obviously, but the 3 years that I was broadcasting Ranger games, I had to really make an adjustment to how I felt and acted after a loss.
You're right.
Because the next game is not next week. It's tomorrow.
Right.
It's tomorrow.
Right.
And it's because you need to take a day to process and then learn how to let it go, right, so you can fully focus on the next game.
Yeah, and I think, like, our schedule is set up that way, right? Like, we come in a normal schedule. We come in on Mondays, and we dive right into the film and do the corrections. And then Tuesday's kind of that off day where it's kind of like, hey, you know, if you need to come in and get some things done, do that. But at the same time, take this time to kind of disconnect for a little bit and reset for the upcoming week.
I have some really good friends, big Cowboy fans. The dad in the family especially is a big Cowboy fan. And his wife does not understand when I try to tell her that today is actually Tuesday.
Yeah.
And tomorrow will be
Wednesday. Yep.
And how hard was that to adjust? You didn't have many of those in college, did you?
No,
everything was on Saturday.
I don't know if we ever played any other day besides Saturday. I don't know. You just kind of fall into it. It's funny because, like, my wife Morgan, she gets it now too. She's like, okay, now this is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So you get used to it, I guess. They're all the same, you know. All the days, you know. This tomorrow's our Wednesday, so it'll be exactly like our normal Wednesday.
All right, I want to take about an hour to listen to you talk about playing next to Tyron Smith,
yeah.
And we're going to get into that when we continue. We are at City Works at the Star District in Frisco. Our special guest is Cowboys Pro Bowl guard Zach Martin, and we'll be right back on the Cowboys Hour.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
To the Miller Lite Cowboys Hour, supported by Albertsons.
Welcome back to City Works here in the Star District in Frisco. This is Cowboys Hour, which is sponsored by Albertsons. When it comes time to shop for tailgate favorites, go to Albertsons and Tom Thumb. Get 10% off your groceries every Dallas Cowboys game day when you wear your Cowboys jersey. Albertsons and Tom Thumb, the official supermarket and pharmacy of the Dallas Cowboys. Guys, we've got Pro Bowler Zach Martin in the building. That's not bad. That's not bad. We'll work on it next. We'll work on it next visit.
I'll tell you, there is one thing I want to ask you about, and then we'll move on from yesterday. But it doesn't have to do with the game, because we were kind of joking, but it wasn't really a joke about what a total thrill it is for you to be here tonight.
Yeah.
People don't understand how difficult it is to stand at your locker after a game like that, home or road. I don't care. But maybe especially on the road, you got to go get on the bus and whatever you got to do and talk to reporters. And they're on deadline, and they're in a hurry, and they got a job to do. And some guys, there were a couple of guys who had prominent roles in the game who just couldn't bring themselves to do it last night. And not many guys are like that, but sometimes that happens. You never do that. Was that a Notre Dame thing? Did you get trained at Notre Dame? That's part of your job?
Yeah, I think.
Talk to the media.
Yeah, I think that's – you got to face it no matter what happens. And I think you made a good point. I mean, I think guys understand that, the guys in the media, they have a job to do just like we do. And part of that job is to ask the hard questions and after tough losses like that. So, I don't like to sit there for an hour, but I will give them, 5 or 10 minutes and at least give my initial, even if it's kind of saying nothing, I'll give them something.
Do you have to consciously fight to be civil and upbeat when you just really don't have anything
good
to say about
it? Yeah,
I mean,
I think we have a – I don't know how it is other teams. I think we have a pretty good relationship with members of our media just because they're there every single day and you interact with them every single day. I'm not sure if it's like that everywhere, but so for the most part, it's all familiar faces at your locker after a game, which is
– helpful.
Helpful, yes.
Okay, as long as you don't hate those faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you and Tyron Smith have been teammates for your entire career.
Longest teammate I've ever had.
Is that right?
It is.
And obviously, he's going to the Hall of Fame, and you're going to the Hall of Fame. I said that again. but it's really rare for two guys to play side by side like you did last night. In fact, I had my statistician look it up. I said, see, that's like 17 Pro Bowls, and I think you've made them in the same year 7 times,
yeah.
Right? So I said, that's like 17 Pro Bowls playing next to each other. That doesn't happen. I think he found that the closest he could find was Bob Lilly and Mel Renfro, but they weren't side by side. They were just on the same unit.
That's
right. A defensive lineman and a defensive back, like 12 and 9 at one point. So that's a really rare thing. And that's kind of why I bring it up, because as long as you have been around him and know him, what was that like practicing with him and then getting to play, working those combo blocks?
Yeah.
And all, what was that like?
Well, I'll take you back to last week. So, obviously, unfortunately, Terrence Steele goes down in the game. And, you know, Terrence, I've been one of Terrence's biggest advocates all year. I just think he is an absolute stud and, you know, really had a great season. Unfortunately, he goes down and, you know, we had to fill those shoes. That's someone we have to fill in there. And, you know, credit to Tyron. You know, he made a comment, I think, during that game after Terrence went down. And after the game, I talked to him a little bit about it. And then we went home. That was a noon game, too, so we had kind of the rest of that day. And I gave him a call later that night and just asked him basically if he was serious about doing it. Because
did he say it to you during the Houston game or after the Houston game?
He said it to someone on the sideline during the game who told me. So then
he said, hey, I would do that.
Yes, yes. Okay. So then I called him on Sunday night after the game and said, hey, is this something that you would actually consider? Because people don't understand. You think, okay, well, we're just going left tackle to right tackle. I mean, the guy has been as dominant as you can possibly be at left tackle over the last, you know, 12 years. So to make that move is it was pretty cool. I mean, it's a selfless move there for Tyron. And so he said, yeah, absolutely, I'm interested. And then so we kind of talked to some of the coaches, and Tyron did some – he went, I think, on Monday and did some, like, right tackle sets and stuff like that and said it felt pretty good. But just so, like, you guys understand, like, he went from – he hasn't practiced since training camp. Where the only practice left.
At all.
At all.
Yeah.
He comes back last week to start his window, only practices at left tackle. Sunday it happens. Sunday night we talk. Monday, so then our first practice is Wednesday. We're just in helmets. So he does some right tackle stuff there. And then Thursday we have a full pad of practice. And, you know, we're not taking – every single rep of practice, me and Tyron. So, you know, we get some reps together. So it's pretty incredible what he did on Sunday coming into the game and playing right tackle. He played it at a high level. If you watch the film, he really did. And it was pretty cool because we've always kind of talked over the years, like, man, it'd been cool if we were next to each other. And to kind of have that opportunity, it's pretty cool.
By the way,
just really fast, can you break down the difference for people to understand that move from going from playing on the left side to playing on the right and just how intricate that is?
Yeah, I think it's just like for example, like me and Tyron, like younger guys, when they come in here and we're practicing, they'll switch back and forth, obviously, because we need depth and you've got to kind of be able to play both sides of the lines. They're constantly switching back and forth. Someone like Tyron is not going to take any rep that's not a left tackle rep. You know, probably for the last 10 years, he has not taken a right tackle set. And so for him to be like, yeah, I played it in 2011 and come in with basically a day of practice and to go out there and, you know, they had a plan, I think. And
he blew that plan
out of the water. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. So to come in and play basically 50 snaps for the first time all year, it's incredibly impressive. So I think that's the hardest thing to do, if you move from one side to the other, because just you have to switch. I mean, you feel like a little baby deer out there. You have to switch everything, your hands, your feet, your everything. So it was pretty incredible to see.
I tread very carefully here, but I recall you saying to me last week, I would rather move from right guard to right tackle than from the left side to the right side. I think the world who follows all this understands that you really don't want to be a tackle. you could be, you have been, really don't want to be. But for you to say that, I think, is a great indicator what Haley's talking
about.
Yeah,
especially when you're not – and, like, it would be different if, like, hey, at the end of the season they said, hey, we want you to play left guard next year, and you have the entire offseason to do it. That's something entirely different than, hey, you have basically 2 days to get – the practice reps.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Jason Peters in here.
Oh, yes.
Who the
deal.
Week before did it for the first time.
Yeah, and he was
since 2005.
And he was out there yesterday too. And it speaks volumes to those guys and the pros that they are. They've been in it a long time, and they have the same goal. They want to go all the way. So they're in to do whatever that takes to get it done. So it was really cool to have him out there.
So I just want to stay on Tyron for a minute, because I make no secret of my affinity for Tyron. I pulled a thorn out of his paw when he was just a cub, and we've been pretty good friends ever
since.
That's
how I feel about the Tyron.
Yeah, there you go. And Tyron Smith has a, you can't even call it a smile. He's got a grin that when it overtakes him, it changes the whole aura of like a 20-foot span around him. It's just the most magnificent thing ever. And so even as upset as he was after the game yesterday about having lost, I said, I talked to him briefly, and I said, they said they were trying to keep you on like 20 or 25 plays. And he got that little smile, but it wasn't little. He said, I was having too much fun. I wasn't coming out.
Seriously.
Can you tell? Because he doesn't say much.
He doesn't, and he's just like, I've kind of been for the last 9 years, a little bit of a observer. Like, we're playing on the same line, but I play on the right side. And so at no point are we ever blocking together, ever. So I've just been kind of this observer for the last 9 years. And so to be able to go out there and play with him, it was, you get some confidence rolling out there with 77 next year. And, he just did it. He did an incredible job. I don't know what else to say. It was. I'm thinking about some of the plays he had and some of the little techniques that he was doing out there that he did on the left side, and I didn't know if it would translate right away to the right side, and it just did.
Where does that rank for you in, like, coolest things I've done, like getting to play next to your guy?
Yeah,
or special, I guess,
yeah,
is just a better
I would
word.
Say more special because, like, again, I'll go back to – me and Terrence had really something going over there, and I just think so highly of him, and I don't want to take anything away from what he's accomplished and what we were able to do playing next to each other. But, to have – I said it earlier, Tyron's been the longest teammate I've ever had on a football team, and to be able to play so long with a guy and, inspired by him and learn things from him and just how he carries himself, and then to be able to go out there and play with him was pretty special.
Zach Martin's our guest on the Cowboys Hour this evening. We are at City Works at the Star District in Frisco. Come by and see us. If you got a question for Zach, we have a microphone that will mix amongst the crowd in the last segment. We'll just hold your hand up and we'll get your questions. Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming out. Happy Hanukkah if you're lighting candles. We'll be right back with Zach Martin on the Cowboys Hour.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
to the Miller Lite Cowboys Hour, supported by Albertsons.
Welcome back to City Works across the street from the Star in Frisco. Haley Sutton, Brad Sam, and Zach Martin. There we go. That's better. That's better. Cowboys Hour is presented by Lucchese, the official bootmaker of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Zach, you got a special little delivery.
I got some fresh apple slices for the kiddos. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw, but Charlie and Remy brought Dad some apple slices. So I'm glad that they are learning early that they've got to keep Dad.
They know where the bread's buttered. Take care of Dad. Now, let me ask you this, because it's Christmas week. By the way, we will not have a show next week. And it's not because it's the day after Christmas. It's because they'll be on a short, like a Thanksgiving-like week with a Thursday game. But I don't even want to think about that right now. But no show next week. We'll be back here at City Works in 2 weeks. But it is the Christmas season. And Christmas is for those little people right over there. Now, how involved are you able to be in helping create the Christmas spirit in the Martin domicile?
I try to be pretty involved. Morgan's going to laugh at me over there.
She's been rapping.
She's either going to laugh or she's going to spit up whatever she's eating, because I don't want you to choke on anything.
Yeah, she's been doing most of the rapping. I know I've got to put some stuff together here before the week is done.
Do you... You can't go out in the mall and Christmas shop, can you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were out today. Yeah, well, we were out there today.
Well, you were out as a family.
Well, me and Morgan were out today.
So you can't shop for her.
Oh, no. I go by myself.
Well, she's with you.
Yeah, I go by myself.
You do. You go by yourself and people don't stop you? And
Yeah, I mean, some people, but it's not like I'm Dak out there who's getting, you know, killed everywhere he goes. So I kind of stay under the radar a little bit.
You do?
Yeah.
What's that like? Like, if you're just trying to outlive your life Christmas shop and you've got people, you know, coming up and...
You know what? It's not that bad, because, again, it definitely happens, but, you know, most fans are very respectful and, you know, just kind of want to say hi. So it's not bad enough.
And take a picture.
Yeah, sometimes.
And have you signed something?
Well, not signed, but I'll take a picture, no question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you got to be careful. You know, if you sign one.
Yeah. I know the gig.
I know you do. And so besides what Santa's bringing, I mean, part of the joy of Christmas is Mom and Dad get to participate in the gift giving.
Yes.
And so who does that? Is that all on Morgan to do that?
To do the shopping?
Yeah.
She does a lot of it. Yeah. Most definitely, she does a lot of it. You know, she'll pull me out there on an off day and drag me to Target, and we'll get some stuff done. But for the most part, she's locking it down.
What's your favorite part of Christmas?
Well, I think we've been doing the elves, you know, where you hide the elves every night.
Oh,
the
elf on the
shelf. Yeah, that's been.
Oh, you do?
Oh, they're terrifying.
What? Oh, you are. Is it like a clown thing? You're scared of clowns?
Do you know what it is? I think it's because, like, they don't have, like, real arms and legs.
Yeah,
so they're just, like, a crazy, creepy face and then just, like, fabric. And then they're doing bizarre things. It's just not for me.
My kids
will not get enough on the shelf.
This is going to require some therapy time. We don't have that built in here.
They won't
They're into it. So we do that. And then we've got the old Polar Express around the tree, and they like.
That's what I can get behind.
So that's always a fan favorite.
And how big a deal will it be as a dad? This is such an unusual schedule this year. You play on Christmas Eve afternoon, and then the game's over. You got Christmas Eve night, and you got Christmas Day on what's got to be your day off, because it's the day after the game.
Yeah, I don't think we've got our schedule, but I would imagine he would probably give us Christmas Day off, and it's pretty cool to be able to spend the morning with them. And my parents are coming in, so
there you go.
It'll be a nice, hopefully celebrating a victory, and it'll be a nice Christmas.
Very good.
The best Christmas.
Is that your favorite holiday?
Christmas, 4th of July, I would say probably number one. 4th of July and then Christmas.
How'd 4th of July get up there?
It's just, I don't know, I'm from Indiana, so 4th of July is at the lake. So it's just, it's a big weekend at the lake every year.
What's your favorite holiday?
Probably Thanksgiving. Yeah, same. I don't think you can beat Thanksgiving, but Christmas is a close second. I'm actually excited about this schedule, too, because you know I've lived all over the place, and this is the first time ever in my, like, adult career, probably in, like, 7 years, where I get to be just at home with my family. So
yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time we timed up with – I don't think since I've been here we've ever timed up with Christmas or Christmas
Eve. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. I'm not, I mean, obviously, Christmas only going to come on a Sunday every 7 years
or so.
Right,
right.
I don't. And fortunately, you don't. You're not one of the teams that plays on Sunday. That would be kind of a bummer if you were playing.
Yeah.
And several teams.
Yeah,
are.
You know, we have a holiday we play on already. So, and that has made I think Thanksgiving is awesome because we've had the tradition of people coming down and spending Thanksgiving at the stadium, which is pretty cool. So, we'll leave the Christmas to some other teams.
Let's get back to. The field for a moment, because you mentioned Terrence Steele, and you have been like his press agent since since the off season, if not before.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, both in the fan base and the media, may have been a little slower to come around to Terrence's greatness than you were. Just talk about the things about Terrence Steele that have impressed you so much.
It goes back to like when he first got here. I just think. His rookie year is such.
Now, that's the COVID year.
That's the COVID year. And Terrence was a undrafted free agent. We had no offseason program. We literally showed up. The week before we showed up, we didn't even know we were showing up. We got a call and said, hey, training camp starts on Monday.
New coaching staff.
So the only interaction we had with them was over Zoom. And so we showed up, and we had basically 3 weeks of training camp before our first game. And I think week one, he was the starter.
He was.
Yeah. So, welcome to the NFL. And, he took his lumps that first year, but I think he came in with the right attitude. He worked the right way. He learned from that first year. And even last year, he was in and out of the lineup, switching over from right tackle to left tackle. But I had maybe like a 6 or 8 week span with him last year where I could just feel this guy, especially in the run game. You know, he's good in the pass game, but in the run game, he's different. And I felt that and kind of, coming into this year, I was his biggest fan because I knew he was a key piece to what we wanted to do in the run game. And I think if you watch the tape from this year when he was in there, that bears true.
As you know, we didn't have any interaction with players that year except for on the phone or a call. But I did talk to him early in the year when it became apparent that he was going to be playing a little bit. And, here's a like you said, a free agent from Texas Tech, big old boy from Cibolo.
I think it's Cibolo.
Is it?
San Antonio
yeah.
area.
Yeah, my family lives in Cibolo, and they say Cibolo.
I know you say San Antonio. You're from Indiana. You don't really care. If you're, people who are
Dallas, Fort Worth.
We're trying to pay attention. We're trying to be respectful. The one thing that struck me was it just didn't seem to faze him really. It didn't rattle him.
No, that's a great point. He's just a quiet professional. Like he just does it the right way, and he's not a big talker. He just comes in and goes to work every single day, and that stuff's contagious, and that's what I try to be. And I think, having a guy like that, it rubs off on everyone.
I feel like that's kind of a theme, and I'm new to the franchise, obviously, but like with Leighton and Damone talked to us last week about how important Leighton has been, just from a confidence standpoint. Is that something to where, like, you get to that leadership or that veteran role that you look forward to doing, or is it just something that naturally happened with you
guys?
Yeah,
I mean, I was extremely fortunate when I got down here. I mean, I had some unbelievable veterans. Doug and Tyron
Free.
Was always –
Doug Free.
It kind of took me under his wing, and it made a huge impact on my career in that first year and made that transition easier. So I tried to do that with Terrence, and, if I could – impart a little bit on him, that'd be fine, and I think I have.
And did you do that with Biadasz and with Tyler Smith also?
Yeah, I think it's different when you're playing next to guys. So definitely with Biadasz, it's so funny just because we went from Wisconsin Center to Wisconsin Center, and it's like I always laugh and I tell him I'm like, he does things that Trav would have done, and it's funny to me. So I'm always like,
can you elucidate?
Well, the first time, so I used to always give Trav a hard time because he wore cargo shorts all the time. He always wore cargo shorts. And it was just his thing. And I was like, man, that must be a Wisconsin thing. I don't know. I've never worn cargo shorts. And the first day I met Bjatich, he walked in the building. And
in
he was wearing some big cargo shorts. Which just made me laugh.
Did you try to help him consciously ease his transition?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Tyler's got a huge job. And we've talked about this before. But obviously with Trav being here, I think I kind of took for granted some of the responsibilities that the center has, and I've definitely realized more of that, and tried to do as much as I can to help Tyler with some of those responsibilities, because it really is, he's got two jobs basically. He's got to block his man in front of him that like we have to do, but he's also got to get everyone on the same page. And nowadays, defenses are constantly changing personnels and structures, in-game adjustments, and things that he's got to catch on the fly and get everyone on the same page.
And Tyler Smith, they put in the locker right next to yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee, what a coincidence.
And, Tyler's been another guy. I mean, he's still learning the game, no question, but the thing I love about him and what I love about, young guys who come in, especially early draft picks that come in, if you're willing to come in and work and put the time in and kind of not stay quiet, but you know what I mean, be a quiet professional and learn and ask the right questions, and that's something Tyler's done, and he's been a great addition to our room.
Brad Schaub and Haley Sutton on the Cowboys Hour with our special guest, Cowboys All-Pro Zach Martin. We are at City Works at the Star District in Frisco. No show next week, short week. Enjoy a little more Christmas. But enjoy a little more show here tonight. We'll be right back with Zach Martin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
to the Miller Lite Cowboys Hour, supported by Albertsons.
Welcome back to City Works here at the Star in Frisco. We've got Zach Martin sitting next to us. But first, Cowboys Hour is brought to you by Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think we're going to get some fan questions for Mr. Zach Martin.
Are we going to get some fan questions? Joe Trahan's got the microphone.
Good evening, Zach. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. My name is Rambo.
Nice to meet you.
So you were talking about how you have some of the younger linemen under your wing, where you kind of mentor them. Do they ever look at you and ever say, because obviously you're one of the best in the league, if not the best, they ever say, man, what do I need to do to be just like you?
No, I don't think it's like that. It's more, I mean, I definitely try to help in any way I can. And, like, I'll use Biadj, for example. Like, he knows that I played with Travis for a long time. And so he'll ask me questions. And, you know, how did you guys used to?
Not mine.
Oh. I was like, I don't think mine's connected to that.
It's not mine either.
But ask me questions, kind of how did you guys used to do this? How did you guys see this? So little things like that I try to help them with. And then obviously playing next to Terrence, you're constantly, and Tyler, you're constantly working with them in combination blocks with them. So just really talking through kind of how I see it and hearing how they see it and trying to come to an agreement on how to do it there.
Hey, Zach. My name is Corey.
Nice to meet you.
Going into this week, playing against Philly, I know both
teams. Is
that
teams, this week? Holy cow.
both teams know each other very well. So can you just talk about just like the details, I guess, within just the film watching with, you know, both teams knowing each other well. Y'all was pretty able to run the ball on them pretty well in the first game in October. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously having a great year, and anytime we play Philadelphia, it's a physical, tough game, and, you know, they've obviously added a few pieces there since the last time we played them, so, you know, I'm looking forward to having another, you know, division games are fun. They're always down to the wire, tough games, so kind of diving into them, to the film, and seeing how some of these new guys are fitting into what they're doing defensively.
Zach, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
My question is, the bigger the games get, I would imagine the harder it is to control your emotions. How do you control your emotions with the bigger the games get? Because when I was in school, I had guys that I went to school with, they would literally vomit before they went out there on the field.
Yikes.
Yeah, I think.
Thank you for sharing.
I just think you got to keep that, you know, I try to be pretty even keel throughout the entire season. I just think the consistency of that. Pays off in these you know, high pressure situations, these games late in the season against you know, division you know, very good football team. So yes, it is have a little extra on it being that division game, but the more you can treat it's, you know, the weeks the same and stay consistent and stick to your routine and your process throughout that week, I think the more success you'll have there.
All right, be careful now, but I'm a little concerned for you with this next questioner. This guy, he looks loaded for bear.
Have you ever been in Jerry Jones' helicopter before?
Great question.
That's a tremendous question.
I have never been in the helicopter. I have been to his house, though.
Great question.
Do you want to go on his helicopter?
No, I don't want to go on the helicopter.
Do you have an aversion to helicopters?
No, I don't have an aversion to helicopters. I don't like the heights and the whole. I don't love to fly. I mean, we
have
to.
I was gonna say, get on an airplane.
Yeah,
every other week.
But I don't necessarily love to fly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so being in.
He said that twice, so I feel like he wants you to know.
And
Brad,
emphasize
he
it.
Like
I've
to fly.
Message received. So being in a little smaller container where you can look out and see.
Yeah,
stuff.
I've never done it before, so maybe I would enjoy it. I'm not sure.
Do you? Parasail?
No.
Would you parasail?
Oh, I have. Oh, I love parasailing. How about?
What if it goes?
Zach is just looking at me like he's trying to get a mental picture of me parasailing, and he's rather terrified of that picture.
I would never skydive. Ever.
No. How about a hot air balloon?
Never done it.
Fantastic.
That was actually so we do offensive line gift exchange for Christmas every year, and. A couple years ago, well, that was one of the gifts, was a hot air balloon.
Who gave that gift?
Connor Williams gave that gift.
Okay.
A hot air balloon ride for two. I did not get it, but it was.
Why didn't you get it?
What
was it, like a choice of a gift, or?
Well, we play.
I would love that gift.
It's just a phenomenal experience. So is parasailing.
They do them a lot up here. I see them up in the air around this area.
Plano, there's some great. There's some great hot air balloon festivals at different times of the year. So bungee jumping?
No. Okay. Nothing like that. It's all off the table.
Well, what is the most daredevilish thing besides? Try to block 320-pound men who want to hurt you that you would...
I mean, I did roller coasters growing up. I had no I did fine.
How about now?
I can't fit on them, so I can't do
That's a good out. That's a good out. Talking about the Philly game interests me because as they've had the year they've had and you've had the year you've had, much of the national media seems to address it like it's going to be the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It never was going to be the Super Bowl. And now that there's a little more distance between you in the standings, and you both know you're going to be in the playoffs, how, if at all, does that affect the mentality?
Again, I mean, I'm go back to kind of what I said there. I try not to look at games different like that. I try to just stay consistent in my how I approach the week and how I – do my routine throughout the week, and I mean, sure, division weeks have a little extra to them, you know, just because we call them common opponents, right? So we've had some uncommon opponents the last couple weeks where a team like the AFC South, like we play them once every 4 years. Philly, we're going to see twice a year no matter what. So there is that familiarity with them, and obviously they've had an incredible season, and, you know, we know it's going to be a tough game, but you know, I think the most important thing going forward, we're trying to win the rest of our games, right? That's our goal. So, you know, we just have to stay locked in and not let yesterday linger this week.
Does the Jalen Hurts news surprise you at all, or it obviously doesn't change the preparation?
No, I don't think it changes anything. I mean, you know, like you said, you know, we may see these guys again down the road and expect them to have everyone.
You were here in 2009?
No.
No? Too long ago? My math is really bad.
That was when I graduated high school.
Yeah, that's what I meant. When you were in high school in 2009, you watched, right? I mean, the Cowboys and the Eagles, I think it was 2009. They played three times.
Yes.
And I.
But did they play the Giants three times 1 year, too?
I don't remember that, but I remember the Eagles because they had to beat the Eagles to get in the playoffs, win the division, and the Eagles came the next week, and the whole big deal was really hard to beat one team three times.
I don't think we've ever played. I don't think I've played a team three times.
Does that prospect intrigue you, interest you, bore you?
I mean, I think if you look just how the season has gone and the season that they've had, you've got to look at it and say, hey, if we're gonna get to the game that we want to get to, you're gonna have to go play Philadelphia. So, you know, there's a chance it'll happen.
When you're trying to qualify for the playoffs, and the closer you get, there's great intensity. The pressure is a privilege, as your quarterback likes to say, but the stakes are higher. But you're in now. They can't keep you out. You've earned your way in.
Yeah.
It's math.
Yep.
So how does that change the intensity of the games as you
finish it? I think they continue to get more intense, and we talked about it from here on out. You know, we're in playoff football, right? You want to go into the playoffs feeling good and getting into a little bit of a rhythm, and so these next 3 weeks are huge for us to go out there and get things going before we hit the playoffs.
Mike talked about how valuable that Houston game was and how it came down to the wire. Do you see the game on Sunday being valuable, especially given 100%. What's up next?
And you know, yes, it was very unfortunate, frustrating that we lost, but I think there are lessons that come from that game. And like we said earlier, I think he put up a stat last year. I think maybe every playoff game came down to a final drive. And so we are certainly aware that this style of football late in December and into January, it comes down to final drives.
Well, you've done a heck of a job practicing for those.
Yes.
I mean, the Minnesota game was more of an outlier.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I'm trying to think what other games this year. Yeah, Chicago well, was semi-tight, right?
Well, I mean, you won by 20, but you opened it up at the end.
Yeah, I feel like maybe one game a year where you have that outlier game. But, you know, when you put up the stats at the end of the year, it's pretty consistent that, hey, one out of every, I don't know how many games, three games or two games, it's going to come down to that final drive.
That music means we are getting closer to Christmas by the beat. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks
tonight.
For having me.
Merry Christmas to the Martin family. Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a great week. Cowboys on Christmas Eve and the Eagles. Haley and I will see you in 2 weeks right back here at City Works on the Cowboys Hour.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!